Now, back here in 1 Timothy, I'm going to deal with these first four verses, the Lord willing. And we'll read those first four verses again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, so do ye which is in faith. I get my subject out of that third verse where it says, teach no other doctrine. Teach no other doctrine. That's what he's telling him to do. Now, Paul wrote this two letters to Timothy. He wrote two, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And the scriptures tell us a lot about Timothy. Tells us a lot about him. He knew the scriptures from a very early age, and he come from a believing family. Now, turn back over to 2nd Timothy chapter 1 with me. And let me show you what I'm saying. You know, Timothy grew up in a family of believers, and he was just a child. And Paul said here in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in ye, talking about Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, your grandmother had faith, and then thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So he was raised by a grandmother and a mother that both were believers. He was raised in the scriptures, and the only scriptures they had was the Old Testament. Now look what he said over here now in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14. Look what he says about Timothy over here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The things ever, God taught him some things. He said, you be assured you know who taught you these things, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So that's the man that he wrote to. And he said, a lot of people refer to him as a young man, but Paul talked about him as being when he was a child. Evidently, he knew his testimony. He knew what God had done for him, what God had done for his grandmother, and what God had done for his mother. And when he talked about the scriptures, he's only talking about the Old Testament. That's all they had. But Timothy was a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he had faith unfeigned. That means not hypocritical faith, true faith, believing faith, not put on faith. And he was faithful to his brethren, faithful to preach the gospel to his brethren. And he was faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, you know, Timothy's mother was a Jew. His father was a Greek. And so he wasn't a full-blooded Jew. But when he started going with Paul preaching, Paul had him circumcised so that he would be able to preach to the Jews, because they would not listen to someone who was not circumcised. They had to be done according to the law. So that's why he had him circumcised. He didn't have to do it, but that's what Paul meant when he said, I'm all things to all men. And so he did that to be able to reach people with the gospel. But now look what he says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice something he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm Saul of Tarsus. This is not Saul of Tarsus. This is Paul the apostle. God, when he knocked him down on the Damascus Road, made a new creature out of him. I mean, all the old things passed away. All of his old relationships, his relation to the law, his relation to Christ, his relation to brethren, his relations to the church, his relations changed so much when God saved him on the Damascus Road, made him a new creature in Christ. And I tell you, he was a man that was greatly used of God. Look what he says down here in verse 13 of chapter 1. He's talking about Paul. He said, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So now he's Paul. He's not Saul of Tarsus. God made him a new creature and made him a new creature in Christ. And then he says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now you could get on sermon audio or get on the internet and type in apostle, and you would not believe how many people today will claim to be an apostle. I was in a black church one time, and they got up and they started thinking, you know, we acknowledge all the apostles and all the prophets and all the teachers and all the preachers. They went through a whole, and our ushers, they went through a list that long of everybody that they had to recognize in that service. The first one they started out with, the apostle. Our apostle. So there's lots of people claim to be apostles. But I tell you, listen, you know what a real apostle is? A true apostle is one who has seen the Lord Jesus Christ and been an eyewitness of Christ. The only requirement to be an apostle is to be an eyewitness of Christ. Now, if you want to look at it in your own time, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Paul says, you know, he said, Christ was seen above Peter and Cephas and them, and then he was seen above the 12, then he was seen above 500 brethren at one time, and then he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Christ himself appeared to Paul. He didn't appear like that to nobody else but his other disciples, his other apostles. But he appeared to him on the Damascus Road. He appeared to him when he was in the temple in Jerusalem. So he saw Christ face to face. He saw Christ in his body. He saw Christ speaking to him. And that's the requirement of being an apostle. And I tell you, in their purpose, God gave them one message. These apostles had one message. That was to take Christ from the Old Testament and make him known from the Old Testament scriptures. To take what Isaiah said, what Moses said, what the prophets said, and take the Lord Jesus Christ and take those scriptures and show from them scriptures that this is indeed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came here to die on a cross for sinners. And that's what they did. You look at the first message in Pentecost. On Pentecost, when Peter preached, I don't know, every scripture he quoted there was an Old Testament scripture. And I believe there was about, oh my, I'm going to say there's 25 or 30 that he used and pointed to Christ. Pointed to Christ. And that's what the apostles were called to do. And you know, our Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Don't beat them, don't shear them, don't mistreat them. All I want you to do is feed them. And feed them. And that's what they're called to do. And that's why the scriptures tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ, their purpose was to make Christ known. Make Christ known. Then look how he's made an apostle. He's made an apostle by the commandment of God. God our Savior. You know how he became an apostle? God commanded him to be an apostle. Now, let me tell you something right here. You know, when God made him an apostle, it was by the commandment of God. God commanded him. God said, you're going to be my servant. You're going to be my chosen. You're mine. And I'm going to use you. And I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. I'm going to cause you to be a light among the Gentiles. You're going to preach to kings. You're going to preach to everybody that's anybody in this world. And he was by the commandment of our Savior, and Christ our God is our Savior. God, Christ, and is God our Savior, just as Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the Father gave everything into his Son's hands, and everything that we... Now, if we have anything to do with God, the Father, we have to deal with our Lord Jesus Christ, because God will not speak to, nor be spoken unto, by anybody in this world except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't do it. And then Noah, listen, he said, and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, that's how he became an apostle. He just didn't get up one day and say, well, I'm going to be an apostle. I'm going to be an apostle. And another thing about apostles, they've done miracles. They've done miracles. I'm telling you what, Peter raised the dead, Paul raised the dead. I mean, he was used mightily of God. It's something to see a person dead and see that they're dead. And you have the ability by God Himself to walk up to that dead person and tell them to live again and life come back into them and raise them back up. And Peter did it to Dorcas. Paul did it to Eutychus. And Paul did it when he was on the Isle of Malta with that heathen king over there. He did these things. I mean, that's the thing about the apostles. You're not going to... These folks, listen, people talk about signs and wonders and all that stuff. The greatest sign and wonder to me is that God saved me by His grace. And I tell you, God done it. And I've been raised from the dead. You've been raised from the dead. You've been resurrected. And when this body goes to the grave, we'll be resurrected again. We're raised from death or sin, and we'll be resurrected from the grave one of these days. But I tell you, Paul was saved and called and commissioned by the will of God, by the commandment of God. God didn't meet him on the Damascus road and said, now Paul, Saul, I sure would like to save you and make an apostle out of you if you'd let me. Oh, I used to see God plead with me. Oh, please let me make an apostle out of you. Oh, listen, if you get out and you do so much for me, then I'll make you an apostle. No. God put him on the Damascus road, put him down, and that's all it took. And I tell you what, and he was saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't called by man, ordained by man, but he was separated under the gospel of God Almighty to preach the gospel of Christ. Look over with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, baptism is an ordinance sent by God. It's an ordinance for... That's how people make their confession of their faith in Christ, is by baptism. They did it in the New Testament. When a man confessed faith in Christ, he was baptized. But look what Paul said here. In verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Oh, I can't use fancy words, not going to be eloquent. God sent me to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And then look back over in our text. Oh, I love this right here. Look what it says here about our Lord Jesus now. In verse 2. No, excuse me, verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. Now, oh my. You know, when a believer leaves this world, hope ceases, faith ceases. But Christ, our hope. Christ, our hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's the author of our hope. Without Christ, we would have no hope. But He's the author of our hope. He's the author of our hope for salvation. He's the author of our hope for eternal life. He's His righteousness and His sacrifice to put away our sins is the means that God used to give us this hope that's in Christ. And I tell you, the promise of God in Christ is the foundation of our hope. But Christ Himself is our hope. We don't trust a plan. We don't trust a plan. We trust the person. That's who we trust. And look, you know, right over across the page from 1 Timothy, and then look right back to your left, there's 2 Thessalonians. Look what it says in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians 2. If you got a Bible like mine, it's right, this Timothy's in front of me, right, look to your left and look right there, verse 16. Now, Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation, and listen to this, and good hope through grace. That means we didn't make it. He's the author of it. His righteousness is the means to give it to us. God promised to give us. It's the foundation of our hope. But Christ Himself is our hope. And we trust a person, not a plan, not a plan. You hear people talking about a plan, God's plan of salvation. Follow this plan, follow that plan, do this plan, four easy steps, the ABCs. But oh no, we trust a person. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. And then He said in verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. He loved, oh, Paul loved Timothy. Timothy was his spiritual son. He is his spiritual son. You know, you got to see this now. Second Corinthians. I want you to see this because this is so necessary, so needful. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, Paul talked about Timothy was his spiritual son. He was begat him through the gospel, and it's by the will of God, you know, that we're begotten by the truth of God. And look what he said here down in verse 15,1 Corinthians 4:15. I'm sorry, I messed up again. I don't know why I seen 1 Corinthians 4:15. There we go. Yeah. He says in verse 15, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, lots and lots of teachers, yet you have not many fathers. You don't have many people that God uses to beget people in the gospel. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. God used that gospel. That's how you was born again. That's how you was begotten, by the gospel. By the gospel. He told him he begot him through the gospel. And Timothy, he called Timothy his son. His spiritual son. The scriptures tells us that he took him and he took Timothy aside and he began to teach him. He loved him. He loved him very, very much. Oh, how he loved. Talked to him. He said he wept over Timothy and his tears. Timothy wept over Paul. He took him and he taught him and he loved him and he watched over Timothy. He told Timothy things to watch out for, to be careful for, to be guard against. He really talked to Timothy like a father would a son. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Be on guard for this. This is the kind of people you're going to run into. And this is the kind of things that you're going to have to deal with. And he went through a whole list of things for Timothy because he loved him. And he said he wanted to prepare him and have him to understand what it was like. But he watched over him and he guarded him and he protected him as much as he possibly could. He was his son in the faith. He was his son in the faith. Look with me back over in Philippians chapter 2. Just go back to your left to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see something here with me. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians 2:19. He was his son in the faith. Now, when he talks about his son in the faith, that's a whole other ball game right there, a whole other horse of a different color. But look what he said here in verse 19, 2 Philippians 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, Timotheus, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man, listen to this now, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He said, when Timothy comes there, he's going to be just like I would be. That's what he said. He'd just be just exactly what I'd be. And this is what he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him that as a son with his father, he has served with thee in the gospel. Oh my, he was his son in the faith. You know what the faith means when he talks about the faith? It means the body of truth. All the things that's made known in this blessed word. It means a revelation of the truth. It's a revelation that comes from God. It's what the scriptures teach. And there's a body of truth. A body of truth. And that body of truth encompasses the gospel and Christ and all about Him. And that's why Isaiah said, you know, if they speak not according to this law and testimony, it's because there's no light in them. And then look what he says. So he's his son, my own son in the faith. And then he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, what a benediction. What a blessing. You know, when you ask somebody to give the benediction, that means close the service, give blessings, bless this thing. And I tell you, that's what he said. He gave him a benediction, a blessing on him. And what more can we ask for each other and for those that we love? Who doesn't need grace? Grace be unto you. Who doesn't need grace? Mercy. Who doesn't need mercy? Who doesn't need peace? And there's only, so look what he says, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one place to receive this from is God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me tell you something. Wherever grace comes, mercy comes, and peace comes, when you get one, you get all three of them. That's the way God works. He gives you grace, mercy, and peace. And they all come together. They don't come, well, I got a little grace today, I got a little mercy. No. When He gives it, it's just all, that's what I said, it all comes together at one time. And then in verse 3, I got to hurry. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus. And he was called to go into Macedonia. And that was Philippi at that particular time. That's when he went into Macedonia. He went to Philippi. That's where it was at. That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul said, I got to go to Macedonia. Silas went with him to Macedonia. And they went into Macedonia because he had a vision. Come over to Macedonia. And he said, Timothy, I'd love for you to go with me, but you stay right here. I need you here at Ephesus because there's false teachers, false prophets, there's Judaizers here, there's lawmongers here, and I need you to stay here. Abide still at Ephesus. Abide at Ephesus. And I tell you what, you know, Timothy had a servant spirit and he had a teachable spirit. Oh, look over here in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. You remember, let me preface before we go there and read that. You remember Barnabas and Paul went out preaching. And the man who wrote the book of Mark, John Mark's his name. He was a nephew to the apostle Peter. He was Peter's brother's son or sister's son, but he was a nephew to him. And Paul and Silas, they took John Mark with them. Go on preaching. When they went preaching, I mean, they preached every day. Morning, noon. I mean, they would preach all day some days. All day long. And it was a hard labor. It was work. I mean, you're talking about when everywhere they went, they walked or else got on a boat. So here they are, they're walking and they're working. And John Martin decided, he said, listen, this is too much for me. It's too hard for me. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to the house. This is too hard to work for me. Well, they was getting ready to go preaching again. And Barnabas said, let's take John Mark with us. Paul said, nope. No, we're not taking him. We're not taking him. He's not coming with us. He forsook us once. He couldn't take it once. He left us once. And he's not going. And that dissension got so hard between those two men who traveled together for years, got so hard that they never fellowshiped together again. Barnabas went his way, Paul went his way. Over this man, John Mark. Now watch what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Now watch this. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Talking to Timothy now. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto the Thessalonica. Oh my. Grecians went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now listen to this. You're talking about somebody evidently God really done something for. Take Mark and bring him with you. Paul wouldn't let him travel with him anymore. He said, take Mark and bring him with you. Listen to this now. For he's profitable unto me for the ministry. Timothy, bring Mark with you. I'm over here by myself. Luke's with me. But oh, I want you to come. I want you to come. Bring Mark with you. Bring Mark too. So you see, he was an unwilling servant, and then he became a willing servant. And Timothy had a reasonable, teachable servant spirit. Teachable. And I tell you what, and the reason he left him there was this. In verse 3, that they might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So there was people there that was teaching doctrines. Contrary, you know, Hymenaeus and Philetus said that the resurrection was past already. There was men that was teaching them that they had to not eat certain meats and drink certain things and go for certain places. But he said, I want you to charge some that if you hear somebody teaching, you charge them, teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. Oh my. Charge them, teach no other doctrine. That's why Paul meant, he says, you know, he said, I marvel that you so soon removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There's not another gospel. He said, if a man come and bring any other gospel than I've brought to you, let him be cursed. And what he's talking about is preach, deal with the doctrine of God. That's the first thing. Who God is. Don't you let anybody say anything about God that's not true. Don't they let them teach you that God is not sovereign, that God is not all-powerful, that God is not immutable. I mean, you tell who He is. You tell His character that He's infinitely and eternally holy. And I tell you, if you listen to this, don't let nobody swerve you from the doctrine of Christ. That's the thing you got to get down. The doctrine of Christ. How you got to tell people who He is. Who is He? Well, He was God manifest in the flesh. But let me tell you something. The issue is this. What Christ did stands or falls with who He is. If He was not who He was, then there's no salvation for us. If He wasn't a man, then He couldn't have died. If He wasn't a man, He couldn't have bore sin. If He wasn't God, He couldn't have satisfied God. So God Himself come down, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And you take Christ out of it, and I tell you, our salvation stands or falls with who Christ is and what He did. What did He do? What did He? What did He do? He put away sin by the sacrifices of Himself. Who did He do it for? I lay down my life for the sheep. Huh? The first thing Christ did was, first purpose of Him coming was to honor, glorify, and satisfy His Father. And the second thing He came to do was to be our substitute, be our sin bearer, to bear our sin in His own body on the tree. And then you got to come to the conclusion, where is He now? Is He in the front? Is He on an altar? Is He somewhere you got to go to? You got to get in touch with Him? Is he in some church somewhere? The Scripture says, after He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. At the right hand of God Almighty. And I tell you, don't let nobody teach any other doctrine than salvation by grace through faith. Oh, don't talk about man's goodness. No, no. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace came from God's heart in the person of His blessed Son. Seen in Him giving us His blessed Son. And oh my, surely He didn't know that the sinful man that He had to give His Son. Oh my. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the doctrine we got to teach. Don't let nobody else teach it. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our sacrifice, He satisfied God's justice. Christ, our righteousness, makes us acceptable to God Almighty. And I tell you, don't. No. Listen to this now. And then He says, you teach no other doctrine. Don't let them charge them. Don't you dare teach no other doctrine around here. Give them charge. Give them commandment. Don't you dare let them do it. And then I tell you, don't do this either. Don't give heed to fables. You know what a fable is? Maybe some of y'all read Aesop's fables when you was kids. Brer Rabbit and all the different things. They all have some kind of a moral aspect to them. They all have to teach a moral lesson, a good lesson. What to do and not to do. But He says, don't give heed, you know, no matter, a fable is a fable. And there's no truth in fables. And He says, you don't give heed to fables. And this word fable means fiction. Story with false facts. Don't you stick to the traditions of the elders like the old death. They did. They had to wash their hands and do all kinds of things. But I tell you, He says, if a man doesn't preach the pure gospel of Christ, the pure, free, grace gospel of Christ, He's preaching fables. He's preaching fiction. He's fictional lie. And I believe this with all my heart because I've been there and know what I'm talking about. If a man cries up man's free will, give man's free will all the power, and cries up God's will being impotent, and preaches up and holds up that Christ died for everyone, and yet salvation's not sure for anyone, that's a fable. That's a falsification of facts. Because when you preach man's free will, God's impotent will, and Christ died for everyone, that means that salvation's not sure for anybody. Ain't that right? Either He died for His elect or He didn't die. And then He says endless genealogies. You know what that means? Which minister questions. That's why Paul said, you know, he told him in Philippians, said, I'm a Jew. I'm a pure-blood Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. He had his genealogy down pat. He knew exactly who his mother was, his dad was, and what tribe he was from. 12 tribes in Israel. And listen, this endless genealogies is seeking to prove who's a pure Jew. Trying to trace your genealogy back. Well, I was related to this one, and my daddy was that, and my phone goes to rabbi. And then they seeking to prove who can be a priest. Who can be in the priesthood or not. You got to have this pedigree. And I tell you what. You know, I'm going to tell you a true story. I was out in a meeting one time and there were some Landmark Baptists there. You ever heard of a Landmark Baptist? Well, Landmark Baptist is that they believe, kind of like the Church of Christ, that they're the only church on the face of the earth. Moose Potts was a Landmark Baptist till God saved him, and then the Landmarks cut him off. Let me tell you what Landmarks believe. If I decided I wanted to join a Landmark Baptist church, they trace their genealogy back to John the Baptist. Now that's what they do. They got to trace their genealogy back to John the Baptist. Well, my genealogy is in the book of Jesus Christ. I trace mine to Christ. My life started with Christ, not with John the Baptist, with Christ. But they want to go back to John the Baptist. And if I wanted to be a member, and this guy told me one time, he said, listen, We're going to be the ones at the marriage supper of the Lamb. All the rest of you just going to be friends gathering around. We're the ones that's going to be sitting around. Fella told me that flat-footed one day. And they believe that if I want to be a Landmark Baptist, first of all, I'd have to be baptized by a Landmark Baptist preacher. Then I'd have to be voted into the church. And then they'd have to have a whole bunch of folks that interrogate me to see if I can preach or not. And if I was allowed to preach in their Landmark Baptist. Norm Wells was a Landmark Baptist when he first Henry Mahan preached, and he said, I hated that man with a passion. I hated him the first time I heard him preach because he tore my playhouse down. Salvation's not in any other church, and that's, listen, Presbyterians, God forgive, I hope I'm not building a straw man here. But Presbyterians, they always go to the Reformed doctrine. They go to the London Confession of Faith. And they'll teach that and preach that. That's what they do in their sermons. They deal with the London Confession of Faith, this article and that article and this other article. And they keep talking about the Reformation doctrine, our historical doctrine. We don't need a historical doctrine. We've got a person. We've got a person. We've got a person who is actually a person of history. But a person. We don't have a doctrine. We have a person. And we want the doctrine of Christ. And that's why Paul said, if anybody brings any other doctrine than the doctrine of Christ, don't invite him into your house. Don't bid him Godspeed. Don't have anything to do with him if he brings any other doctrine than the doctrine of Christ. And I tell you what, and they do just the opposite of what we need. And you know what we need? Look what he goes on to say. Charge them to teach no other doctrine. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies. All they do is just minister questions. Well, who was your daddy? Who was your mother? How far back can you go? And then they minister questions written, listen to this, and this is what we need. Godly edifying, which is in faith. Oh my. You know, godly edifying, which is in faith. Godly edifying means to build up. Build up, strengthen, to establish. And what godly edifying is not, I tell you, I've just took way too long. But, you know, godly edifying is, he told the Galatians this. And he said, who hath bewitched you to turn you from Christ? Are you made perfect in the flesh? After begun in the spirit, you made perfect in the flesh? That's not godly edifying. You know, this is what preaching the truth does. It brings faith. It establishes and edifies the saints in the faith. And that's what we need, established in the faith. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, I thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for your precious truth. Thank you for the grace of God that you've given us. Thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we're in our error in any way. Please forgive me. Save me from it. Teach me, instruct me, and guide me into your precious word. Give me the understanding that only you can. And I ask this in Christ's name. Keep your dear people. Bless you, saints, to come meet with us the Lord's day, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. All right, I'll see you Sunday morning, God willing. Don't forget that...